Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
It's awesome.
I'm surprised to see you here.
We're always here.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you're not always here, but that's most of the time.
Oh, well, that's why I'm surprised to see you here.
And once we did a remote show from the church at Warren, which, is that in Warren?
I think it's in Cortland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why isn't it called the Church of Cortland? I don't know. Pastor Dave, you call in and let us know.
Pastor Dave's a good guy.
He is an awesome guy. For our friends listening on 1440 down in Steve's neck of the woods.
Warren.
The Southern Kingdom.
Howdy, y'all.
I always like Marty Goetz when he says, in the Southern Kingdom, we say, shalom, y'all.
Shalom, y'all. Well, as Paul says, whatever Marty wants, Marty Goetz.
Yeah. So here we are. It's only a couple weeks till Pentecost.
It is.
That's exciting, too.
And it's only a few minutes before the show ends, so we've
already
we're already going.
So we've been in John 21. We went from a barbecue on the beach to Jesus having a pretty serious conversation with Peter.
Yeah.
And maybe we should reread that.
Yeah.
So last week we kind of got started into the words for love, but we didn't get very far into it because the music always starts.
Yeah. So they had breakfast with Jesus on the beach, and then Jesus asked Peter a very significant question. So this is from John 21:15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He then said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you. When you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, follow me.
Mm. Let's stop there for a second. Then I promise we're going to get to verse 20. That's awesome. Yeah. I love Peter because of that. One of the reasons, because of that verse. But in this whole conversation, there's two Greek words at play here for love. One is from the word agape, and I don't know all the tenses and the declensions and all that stuff, so we're not going to do Greek grammar. So, St. Paul, I apologize ahead of time, because he was a master at Greek. But anyway, and I hope he's not listening. But, Jesus uses the word agape, which is a supernatural, unconditional, powerful love. And he says to Peter, do you love me like that? And Peter responds with the word for brotherly love, which he says, well, yes, you know that I brotherly love you. I love you like a brother. You're a really good friend. Mm-hmm. It's been really awesome hanging out with you. And I see that, you rose from the dead and you're here talking to us. That's pretty awesome. And wow, I'm really impressed. I really love that. Well, Jesus kind of lets that go and says, well, then feed my lambs. So he's talking about little baby sheep. He's talking about diminutive sheep, which at this point they all were.
Right.
So, and he also says, do you love me more than these? So there's some debate whether he meant, do you love me more than those guys love me? Or another school says he was saying, do you love me more than you love those guys?
Mm-hmm.
And the way Peter answers is not really clear because he answers with the friendly, brotherly love. And we mentioned last week that he calls him Simon, son of John, mm-hmm. which was his name before he even got involved in this 3-year ministry, right? This has got, I mean, as he looks back on the, on these 3 years, it's got to be just dizzying for him.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jesus is kind of regrounding him, calling him Simon, son of John.
Yeah.
So then he asks him again, using the word agape, do you love me with this supernatural, powerful, unconditional love? This time he leaves out the more than these. So he's getting closer to kind of Peter's terms. And Peter repeats the same word. You know, I love you, man. You're like my friend. You're like a brother to me. And it's been really awesome hanging out with you. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, the love that you have for your brother or your friend is a lot different than the love that God has for you.
Yeah.
Or that you in a revelation understand the love you should have for God and for each other, which is very difficult to attain. So Peter's kind of answering at the level that he understands. Well, you know, it's a brotherly love. Yeah, I love you. This is great. So, you know, he says, then tend my sheep, you know, be a shepherd to my sheep. Mm-hmm. You know, it has that sense of shepherd.
Right.
And the Greek word there actually means not lamb, but means like younger sheep, young sheep. And the third time Jesus asks him, Jesus goes down to Peter's level and says, do you have the brotherly, friendly love for me? And Peter goes, oh yeah, I do. You know that. You know everything. And, but first Peter's cut to the heart by this, because now he kind of understands that, Jesus has come down to his level to a big degree. And the Greek word there about how Peter feels actually means grieved. And so Peter's grieved the three times he asked him, do you love me? And this time he says, well, you know that I love you. And then Jesus says, you have to care for my lambs and sheep. You have to feed my sheep. I mean, this is the sheep. This is the flock that he's purchased with his own blood. Mm-hmm. Acts 20:28. The church has been bought with a price, as it says in several scriptures. Yeah. It's not bought with silver and gold. It's not, it's bought with something more precious, which is the blood. And the sheep are made up of all different ages, all different sizes, all different levels of spiritual maturity. So he wants Peter to be a shepherd to all of these people at all these different levels.
Right.
And not just the sheep he talked about in the first two. So he brings the level of love down to Peter's level, but then gives him kind of a commission. You got to take care of all the sheep that are in this flock. This is going to be your mission. Are you going to be able to do it?
Yeah. He's, you know, as you said, he's first asking Peter, do you love me with a spiritual love that, you love me with the love that has no limits.
Right. Exactly.
Are you really willing to lay down your life for me? Because that's what Jesus does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Peter is. He's talking to him at the level, or at the level that he understands this, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I love you like a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is, you know, probing his heart. He knows his heart already, but he's asking him these questions. So that Peter understands the question.
Yes.
Not that Jesus doesn't understand the question, but so that Peter understands the question and the calling to a greater degree.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, you know, Jesus says, feed my lambs. As you said, baby, you know, they're baby sheep, lambs. Tend my sheep, younger, but maybe not full grown sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he's calling Peter to do. You're going to have to nourish my people.
Yeah.
And do you love me enough to do that?
Right.
That's the question.
That's right.
And that's really the question that he asks all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love me enough to do that? Do you love me enough to be willing to feed your brother or sister who are starving?
Mm-hmm.
Who are thirsting, and not just physically, but spiritually for the word.
Right.
The word
right.
that gives eternal life.
Right.
A lot of times we think, oh, I have to help my brother or sister because they don't have any food to eat physically. And that's a good thing to do, and we mm-hmm. should do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't ignore the call to feed them spiritually with the word of, with the word that gives eternal life.
Right.
The word made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And this is, of course, like you mentioned, this is what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's not expecting Peter to physically provide food for all these different people. He's right. talking about spiritually feeding them.
Yeah.
And he understands, and Jesus knows, I shouldn't say he understands, he knows that it's very difficult for us to have agape love.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is very difficult for any human being to even love a spouse or a brother or sister or a parent with agape love, because it's so powerful, it's so supernatural, it's so unconditional, that he knows it's very difficult for us to do it. Not just Peter. This doesn't mean that, you know, Peter's just a dope. Mm-hmm. I mean, this applies to all of us.
Yeah.
But still gives him work to do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be able to love somebody with agape love to do our ministry or do our work that he's planned for us,
true.
Or that he's assigned to us. And now Peter's been restored. The denials have been forgotten. He's been forgiven about that. He's got work to do now. And I mentioned last week, you know, so much for the prosperity gospel. Jesus says, you know, this isn't going to be easy. This is going to be difficult for you.
Yeah.
You love me and you want to do what I want and you want to feed the sheep and take care of the sheep. That's great. Follow me. But there's going to be a cost to this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were young, you didn't think about that. You know, you got dressed and you thought, man, I'm going to go down to Starbucks for an hour, or, oh, I'm going to Macy's and buy a new shirt, or I got to go to work now. And you pretty much did what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're following me, somebody else is going to dress you,
yeah.
and somebody else is going to tie your hands up, and they're going to take you to places you don't want to go.
Yeah.
And this is, and just in case somebody doesn't get this, it says there right in the scripture, this is to show that he was going to die, that he was going to be martyred for the kingdom. He was going to be martyred for the sake of the gospel. He was going to be martyred for his Lord, that he doesn't really have agape love for at this point. You know, we hope later, you know, he may have had more of a degree of that. But and it's so certain that Jesus prefaces it with the truly, truly, or amen, amen, or verily, verily, or most assuredly.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, well, you know, I don't know exactly yet. There might be some problems involved with this, and you might get some people mad and they might come after you. And I hope not, but it's possible. He says, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's going to go on, and you were independent. You did whatever you wanted. Now you're my follower. That's not necessarily going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pointing out to him the spiritual battle that's ensuing.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to ensue, that mm-hmm. ensues all the time when you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ has been countercultural since the beginning.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
still is countercultural. And, you know, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're, you know, if you are preaching the gospel, if you think it's not going to cause friction,
mm-hmm.
you're badly mistaken.
Yes.
Badly mistaken. Because once you get to the truth of the issue, once you get to the truth of the word, there is going to be a conflict between people who accept the word
right.
and believe it
mm-hmm.
and those who don't accept the word and deny it.
Right.
And there's really no way around that
mm-hmm.
because the word is to be proclaimed in truth, in the fullness of its truth, because there's power in that word that God gives for the person to speak.
That's right.
And it doesn't mean you speak with fire and brimstone and judgment, you know, and there's a lot about judgment nowadays where people, you know, say, well, I can't judge my brother or sister.
Mm-hmm.
Behavior is one thing. The soul is another thing. God judges the person's soul.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a behavior that happens and, you know, if somebody robs a store and you say, well, I can't judge if that was right or wrong. You have a serious moral dilemma there, buddy. But,
yeah.
but okay, we have to be able to judge a person's actions, but we can't really judge the destination of their soul because we don't know the final chapter in their life.
Right, exactly.
And so there's a big, and Satan wants to cloud that whole thing.
Sure. Absolutely.
To cause confusion. Hey, you can't be judging your brother or sister like that. Who are you to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God gave us two eyes and, you know, two ears and a mouth and a brain to think, and also the Holy Spirit to foster our formation of a well-formed conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can't know or say that there's something taking place that isn't right, that's causing a person or leading them into sin, then we're spiritually blind just as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what Christ calls us to. That's not, God doesn't call us to create confusion in the body. He calls us to create an awareness of the truth. He calls us to lead people in truth, in the truth of Jesus Christ, and not to cause confusion in the body.
Right.
You know?
Yes. We're supposed to be building up the body.
Yeah.
And pruning. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. And pruning.
And pruning.
Yeah. Even, yeah, we don't like pruning, but.
So they would bear more fruit.
Yeah.
So you would think that if Jesus has this conversation, this is a pretty profound conversation.
It is.
I mean, this is very profound. This is not very casual at all. And it's, you know, the whole tone of it is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that, you know, Simon, son of John, would then stop and think to himself, wow, he loves me with agape love. I love him with brotherly love. He's going to have me go on this mission. I got to feed the sheep and tend the sheep. And he even called me Simon again. And before he was calling me Cephas or Peter. Wow. But no, Peter pipes right up. And if you want to read
20
and 21 and, well, actually 21 through 22.
Peter turned and saw the disciple following, whom Jesus loved, the one who had also reclined upon his chest during the supper, and had said, Master, who is the one who will betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? Jesus said to him, what if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is that of yours? You follow me.
I love this.
Yeah.
Love those verses. And here's this intense conversation that Peter should have been blown away by.
Yeah.
But he sees John out of the corner of his eye and says, what about him? Wait a minute. Wait, what about him? What's he going to be? You know, he's distracted by John walking behind him or kind of beside and behind him and asks about him.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, that's not your problem.
I mean, a profound conversation has just taken place.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says, you know, we're not supposed to worry about what other people in the body are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to worry about what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't say, well, what about that guy?
Yeah.
Or I'm doing this. What about her? How come she's not doing this?
Yeah.
What about him? How come he's doing that? That's not our business.
Yeah.
And Jesus kind of, I don't want to say fires back, but immediately answers him. Well, just worry about your own work and your own responsibility. And he's got his own stuff to do. And if I want to have him still be alive until the day I come back, that's none of your business.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, what concern is it of yours? You, Peter, follow me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all the Lord's asking.
Yeah.
Steve, follow me.
Yeah.
Phil, follow me. But wait a minute, I don't have my... No, you come and follow me. It's no different than when he first called them to be his disciples. Follow me.
Yeah.
They dropped everything. They left everything behind.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed him. Now it's much different because they saw that he was crucified. Now he's risen from the dead. And now he's telling them, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Yes. And there's going to be cost to it.
Yeah. So now they're seeing the call from a different perspective, from a different vantage point, if you will.
Yes.
What's the cost, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
What about that guy? Isn't he in this just as much as I am? Hey, you know,
yeah.
I want a traveling companion. Come on. You mean I got to walk? I might have to walk part of this path by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And really, Jesus is saying, no, you're going to follow me. I'm going to be right there with you. You're going to follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we proclaim the word that God gives us in truth and in the fullness of the truth, God's word's not going to return to him void, but it's going to accomplish the will for which he sent it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, thus, you know, God's kingdom is, you know, brought forth.
Mm-hmm. So if I say to him, why don't I have a music ministry like Steve? What about that? What's he going to tell me? Just never mind about that. Do what I'm telling you to do.
I've already given you something to do.
So should I not get a guitar?
No, well, not. You can still get a guitar. I don't know.
Yeah, but
if it doesn't work out, you can give it to me.
That's true. Can I get a McPherson?
Sure.
Maybe Paul will give me his. But it's really, this is really, you know, like Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about, everybody gets different gifts for the building up of the body.
Yeah, exactly.
And the gifts are not for you, they're for building up the body. And we all get different gifts. And, you know, he talks about it in terms of different parts of the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't have all eyes, you can't have all ears, you can't have all arms. I mean, you need all the different parts of the body.
Yeah.
And so if, and I think this probably happens a lot where somebody says, well, how come that guy's doing that? And I'm only doing this. How come I'm not doing that?
I've never heard of that happening
before. And, you know, this is the teaching that really addresses that.
Yeah.
It's don't worry about him. I have something for him to do.
Yeah.
That may not involve you.
Yeah. It happens a lot in ministry.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because we're human and because we get jealous.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I mean, you've probably seen it as much as I have. Somebody want to covet another person's gift. They're jealous of the gift that other person has, and, you know, God's given that person. And as one person told me one time, they go, wow, I really wish I had the gift you have. And I said, why? He goes, well, because I think it would be pretty cool. And I thought, well, that means you have to use it.
Yeah.
You got to step forth and use it. You can't sit and, you know, just go, oh, wow, I got this gift.
Right.
It's not about that. It's not for the person. It's for the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be placed in the service of the body.
Exactly right.
And that's what this person was missing. They were just like, oh.
I mean, if you have your gift of music, for example, if you just sat in your living room and played music all day and you were the only one who heard it,
yeah,
that doesn't build up the body.
No.
If somebody has a gift of teaching and every day they make some awesome teaching up and nobody hears it, they just kind of say, wow, I just made a really awesome teaching.
Yeah.
And you're the only one who knows about it. That's not what it's supposed to be for.
Exactly.
And so he's telling Peter, you know, if I want to, I can keep John here till I come back.
Yeah.
That's none of your business.
And it's not going to change the plan that I have for you one bit.
That's right. That's right. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And we're going to see that maybe next week. We may talk a little bit about the ascension but we're getting so close to Pentecost. I'm so excited. But
he's
Peter's always
first.
Doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know, after this talk, well, what about him?
Yeah.
After the Great Commission, well, are you going to do the kingdom now? you're going to reestablish kingdom now?
Yeah.
I mean, today? And he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's not something that is easy to get, but it just shows you his temperament and his humanity.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you told me all this stuff, I got to suffer. What about him?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when the light of Christ is shown upon a situation or a circumstance, you know, as it says in scripture, men prefer darkness to the light.
Yeah.
Because the light is too bright. But we are called to be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ because we are an adopted son and daughter of Jesus Christ,
yes,
through his blood. And we are co-heirs of the kingdom.
Right.
So we have to put on Christ as he wants us to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Well, I'm not going to say it, but the music's back.
It is.
So I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as you reflect upon the words that are spoken, that you too would come to the place of hearing Jesus say, you follow me. And that you would go out and follow him and do what he has called you to do and created you for. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.